How would you like to be Philip? I mean, he asks a valid question, right? Jesus is talking about this, to see the Father, you see me. You know, I read that and I'm like, I don't get it. So Philip says, okay, the Father's in you and you're in the Father, show us the Father. Philip, you've been with me all this time and you still don't know me? I can see Philip standing there going, I don't get it. But isn't that our dilemma? All of us in this room have been enlightened and given the gift of faith. If you hadn't, you wouldn't be here. So we have this gift. Remember the reading that they do at weddings all the time? 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. We hear it all the time. You get down to verse 12, because they always stop before they get to verse 12. Verse 12 is where it says, we see now as through a mirror darkly. Then we will see face to face. So part of our dilemma, and historically they've talked about the fall, is that we're estranged from God. We just see little glimpses and glimmers. Now in the church, historically, the philosophers and the theologians talked about the powers of the soul. And the powers of the soul, we today would call our faculties. Our intellect, our memory, our will, our physical attributes. These are the powers, if you will, or the faculties of the soul. How does the soul know anything? Well, it's through these powers. How do we understand anything about God or the church or the scripture? How do we understand? Well, that's through our intellect. How do we remember what we've learned or try to look at the larger traditions or the teachings or what? Well, that's through the memory. How do we love? Love is an act of will. It's a choice. So the intellect, the memory, and the will are these powers that the ancient, or if you will, the historical theologians and philosophers of the church have attributed to the soul. And again, this soul being that quiet point. You know, why do we be still and know that I am God? Why do we breathe in, God acts, and breathe out, I become? We want to calm down so that we can begin to see that quiet turning point of the entire world and that quiet turning point of our life, to quiet down enough to be aware of that. Had an experience, some of you may have had this. I went into a restroom. We were at a friend's house. I went into the restroom. Turn around, and there's this old man looking back at me in the restroom. Scared the wits out of me. Well, it was a full-length mirror, right? It was on the back, the back of the door. Have you ever had that experience? You look into the mirror and you go, what? Oh my God, I've become my father. Ladies, you know that feeling when it dawns on you, I've become my mother, because you vowed it would never happen. It did. Sorry. But imagine, if you would, a full-length mirror, and you come and you stand before the mirror, and you look at the mirror, and the image in the mirror has a consciousness of its own. And the image is looking back at you, and the image says to you, And have you ever seen the commercial? There's a commercial on TV where this lady is going to go to school. I think she's going to be a nurse or something. And the image in the mirror is talking back to her, and she's talking to the image in the mirror. Or the ones where, you know, you have the... They're doing this kind of thing, you know. I mean, we've seen that interplay of image and person in mirrors before. But I want you to grab a hold of that just for a second, because that's where I'm going here. Got this image in the mirror. And this image is sort of becoming self-actualized. And the image says to the origin of the image, I'm good. I went to some retreats, had 15 years of therapy, cutting down on my medication, got a job, got a relationship. I don't really need you anymore. And the source of the image says, no, you don't understand, it's not going to go good. I mean, we're linked here. And the image is, no, I'm good. I can handle this myself. I don't really need whatever it is that you're selling, because I know that you're going to try to hold me back. I'm going to set out on my own. And the source of the image says, okay. And the source of the image steps halfway off the mirror. And all of a sudden, the image just goes nuts. Who am I? Where am I going? He goes back into therapy, gets on Xanax. I don't know what's happening here. I'm disconnected. We are made in the image and likeness of God. Think about the mirror. And yet we see us through a mirror darkly. We just can't get it. And so many people say, well, it's not there. But our powers, our intellect, our memory, and our will, they become emboldened and enlightened with faith. That experiential faith is what we have experienced. And it's through that that we get this little glimpse through the mirror to the image. Get this little touch. But what happens is, in our dilemma, part of the estrangement, historically we've talked about the fall, right? That's that estrangement. We're estranged from that source, from that ground. We're estranged from the God that is our origin, that is our sustaining ground, and is our destiny. We're estranged from that. And yet God calls us. And if we can calm down enough, if we can quiet down enough to look through and to touch, then we get these touches. And you wouldn't be here. You have received one of these touches or more in your life. God can come and touch you, and you can have that once, and you can spend the rest of your life trying to figure it out. You go, holy crap. Because somehow it's beyond the powers. Because where do we get in trouble? Because our tendency is to spin away, our powers to spin off. The centrifugal force of our life spins our intellect, our will, our memory, spins that out away from this ground of all being, this source that is God, whose image and likeness we are made in. But we spin off. And then we panic. And we become frightened. And we believe that our life consists of a series of things that happen to us and no more. And then we get afraid. We get afraid of our lives, and we particularly get afraid of our deaths. And we become overwhelmed by it all. And we feel profoundly disconnected and lonely. But again, it's that touch, that taste that time in our lives when we're a momentary mystic. Do you want to know the ultimate proof that our mind and our intellect and our will do not have the final say in who we are? Hold a newborn baby. Where is their intellect? Where is their will? Other than the eat and poop. Where is their memory? The powers are not there. And yet, moms and dads, do you remember the first time you held your infant? You were smitten, weren't you? Because you could touch and love, and even if it was a grandchild or somebody else's child, they didn't have the powers that we associate with full-grown adult maturity, but you held them and you could see the essence. You could touch the essence. Have you ever sat with someone who was dying? Was unconscious. Never to regain consciousness. Have you ever disconnected life support from a family member and stood there holding hands with your family, watching that on the screen go beep, 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 beep? Where are the powers? The intellect, the mind and the will, the memory. They're not there. What is there? The essence, the ground. That is there. Look at those two, the beginning and the end of life, and you see that the powers are not, they're important because they're the vehicle through which God acts and moves, but they are not the end all and the be all. Because when that time comes, and God will give you those blips, those touches, where you can see clearly through that mirror, and the image looks at the image maker, the image looks at the ground, and when that time comes for us, what we do is we step into the mirror. We step out, we just step into it. The story of St. Francis, that as he lay dying, he asked his brothers to strip him naked so he could lay on the ground and he could return to his father as he was born naked. And he laid on the ground, and those that were with him at the end said that he sat up like this and then laid back down. He stepped through into glory. Stepped through into glory. We will all have that opportunity. That we return to our source. We return to the ground of our being. You ever been with a little Down syndrome kid? Their intellect is not there as the rest of us. But it's hard to meet sometimes a more loving kid, right? It doesn't impact their will, their ability to love. So as you go through your week, realize that you're not just one part of the breath, but you are both parts. God acts, I become. One breath, it's a couple different parts. God acts, I become. You are image of the mirror, yes. But you are made in the image and likeness. Don't be afraid to look through, to have those touches, to be open to those touches. They're very subtle. Very subtle. How does God touch you? Might touch you through your flowers, through your garden. Might touch you through reading or music or poetry. Might touch you through the children that you work with, or the children that you raise, or the grandchildren that you raise. Be open to that touch. It might touch you before you leave church today. It might touch me before I leave church today. But don't despair. Don't deny or mistrust those times in your life where you have been touched by the source of that image reaching out and touching you. For now we see as through a mirror darkly, then we shall see face to face. What's the then? When we step into glory, when the image comes into the image holder. That is our origin, our sustaining ground, and our destiny. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.